Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We appreciate it. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just type in the Union Edge. We appreciate that very much. For any of you who follow this program, you know that we deal with our friends with Politico on a daily basis. They've got a new product out there. It is kind of neat. It's the labor and employment segment under ProPolitico, and their lead guru there is Timothy Noah. Tim, welcome to Union Edge.
Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Congratulations on getting this whole bailiwick up and running for Politico.
We're very excited about it. We've got four reporters working the story, which the day we opened, we had four times as many reporters covering the labor beat as any major metropolitan daily in the United States. So that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to be covering government policies that affect labor and the workforce, paying a lot of attention to unions, paying a lot of attention to issues like unemployment, pensions, anything that affects workers that the government gets involved in, we will be tracking.
Well, there you go. A lot of working people out there. More and more people every day.
Yep.
Unfortunately, a lot of these jobs are not quite where they should be.
We've got a problem still with lingering unemployment, and we've got a problem with stagnating median wages over the last 15 years or so. Wages are below the median income, rather, is household income is below where it was at the end of the recession still.
Right.
So there's a lot to talk about.
Absolutely. One of the things we should be talking about is labor gets aggressive under Perez, as in the Secretary of Labor. Talk to us about that.
I have a story today in Politico that's about the how kind of the Labor Department, which has been a sleepy backwater for some time, is starting to kind of raise its profile under Tom Perez, who's been there about a year. It was kind of picking up in terms of enforcement under its previous Labor Secretary, Hilda Solis, but she kept kind of a low profile. Perez is not keeping a low profile. He's out there. He's getting a lot of press. He's getting a lot of encouragement from the White House. The White House, which during Obama's first term was not particularly attentive to labor and workplace issues, is much more so in its second term. For example, it really didn't do anything with the minimum wage for the first term, but that has become a huge issue for the White House and for Democrats across the country. And Perez is speaking out about that. To the point where he said last week in a room full of reporters, he said, "We suck." We really do.
Yeah.
And he was talking about the minimum wage, the U.S. minimum wage, which represents 37% of the median in the U.S., which ranks the U.S. near the bottom in an OECD survey. We were actually the only countries that did worse in this survey of OECD countries was Mexico and the Czech Republic. So he's out there. He's kind of ringing the bell. And there seems to be an improvement in morale over the last year of government-wide federal employee engagement. According to a survey by the Office of Personnel Management, government-wide, that employee engagement and global satisfaction has been declining for the last few years, since 2011. But over the last year, it's gone up at the Labor Department. So that's an interesting indicator there. A lot of enforcement. Perez goes around talking about how the Obama administration has collected recovered more than $1 billion in lost wages.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw a real kind of change under Hilda Solis. Perez pointed out to me something I hadn't known about at the time, which was that under the Bush administration, as part of a labor agreement, Walmart was actually given 15 days advance notice of wage and hour inspections. There was a huge stink about it, and they ended up having to withdraw it or letting it, expire after a year. That's gives you a snapshot of, you know, where enforcement was under Bush. Today there are, you know, the number of unannounced inspections is up.
Did the secretary mention anything about the number of special agents that have been attached to the Department of Labor for investigative purposes, and anything about criminal prosecutions?
He did not. My understanding from other sources, I have not been able to check this, but my understanding is that they got, under Solis, they got an increase in investigators. I can't confirm that. I don't know. Maybe you know more about that than I do.
I've heard anecdotally that the number of criminal investigator special agents in the Department of Labor has gone up. That's a good thing because, quite frankly, their numbers had been decimated by the Bush administration. There was no hiring. There was no transfer of special agents from other agencies. So as a result, hourly and wages were not being investigated. Criminal complaints against employers were not being investigated. And quite frankly, that needs to be done on a regular basis.
The other interesting thing that's happening under Perez is, you know, he's installed the first wage and hour, permanent wage and hour administrator in a decade. Every wage and hour administrator at Labor for the last 10 years has been acting rather than permanent because of various disputes in Congress surrounding confirmation. With the new limits on filibusters that were instituted in the Senate this year, David Weil was installed as wage and hour administrator. And Weil's somebody who's been getting a lot of attention lately, actually not for working at the Department of Labor, but for writing a book called The Fissured Economy. That's a phrase you're hearing a lot these days to describe this kind of systematic placing of barriers between corporations and low wage employees, sometimes not even low wage employees, just other kinds of employees as well. The sort of system of having frontline employees work for franchisees or for subcontractors or being declared independent contractors themselves, as occurred with FedEx Ground.
Correct.
This is something that Weil has written an interesting book about, kind of describing all the various facets of it. You know, if you walked into a hotel in 1960, everybody there would have been an employee of the hotel. You walk into a hotel today, and it's a minority of the workers you encounter who actually are employed directly by the hotel, that sort of thing.
Tim, I want to thank you very much for being with us today. How do we find out more about you and this awesome new labor segment of Politico?
Well, Labor and Employment, it's a paywalled site, but a number of our stories will be running in Politico. And hoping you'll see lots of good stories. Anything we write that's of interest to a broader public, as opposed to the specialized public of people working for labor unions and government agencies and business, anything that the broader world would be interested in, will run in Politico.
Well, fantastic, and we will work to get you back on along with the other people in your section, and we'll talk about these issues. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.
The University of North Texas, known for its jazz school and sometimes for its mean green football team, might soon be known nationwide as FRACU. UNT, where I went to college back in the Paleocene epoch, and the good people of the surrounding city of Denton, just 30 miles north of Dallas, are at the center of an epical fight between big oil frackers and common sense citizens. Unbeknownst to nearly all Dentonites until recently, they sit atop the Barnett Shale Field, a deposit of natural gas locked thousands of feet underground in ancient rock. Suddenly, the city was invaded by Shell Oil and other profiteers drilling deep wells to frack that rock, literally shattering it with a high-pressure slurry of water, sand, and a witch's brew of toxic chemicals. Fracking rigs popped up next to schools, homes, and even on campus, generating waves of pollution, a constant roar, and the rumble of hundreds of heavy trucks through neighborhoods. People got the mess, corporations got the profit, and foreign nations are getting the energy. So, Rebellion, a gutsy and savvy group of hundreds of grassroots Dentonites, led by the likes of a home care nurse, a UNT philosophy professor, and a jazz drummer, has proposed a city ban on future fracking, and they stun the arrogant, aloof fracker club by getting the proposal on the November 4th ballot. Of course, the industry powers are now rolling out their usual politicking arsenal of big money, lies, fake economic reports, and slander, accusing the grassroots people of being wacko and even terrorists. This is Jim Hightower saying, but nothing's more wacko than letting corporate giants plunder our environment, threaten our health, and frack our democratic right to govern our local communities. To follow and help the people's fight in Denton, go to www.frackfreedenton.com. Frackfreedenton.com.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Hey, it's me, your piggy bank. Remember when you were a little kid? All the dimes and quarters in my back. Yeah, that was good times. Good times. Now lately, I gotta be honest, you've been ignoring me. Money's been slipping through your hands like a greased pig. Get it? Because I'm a... Anyway, I know how it is. Now that you get a real paycheck, it's nice to have stuff. You'll start saving money next year. Well, I hate to tell you, but good saving habits start now. Put just 20 bucks in the bank a month. Make your own coffee at home instead of that latte every morning. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Those changes alone could save you thousands of dollars a year. Come on, I'm your piggy bank. We can be together again, me and you, the special times. Anyway, if you don't want me to cry anymore, feed me. Go to feedthepig.org for more ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
It's about the work. Work we're proud of. Work that provides the energy that powers America. Work that means our communities are stronger, better, for our families, our neighbors, for everyone. Just like you, members of the United Mine Workers of America are on the job, every day, working hard. It's what we do, and it makes America a better place. The United Mine Workers of America, working families just like yours.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I don't know how to talk like a parent. Don't make me come back there. You see what I mean? It's pretty awful. Try it again. Don't make me come back there. Now that's pretty good. That one kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it, but he just throws it. Again! I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. How do I choose a book? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual. If a book's really impressing me and the writing is really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is. Because the endings of books should rock you. I am a book person, and if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
You must be your fairy godmother.
Cinderella's dream comes true because the glass slipper fits.
It fits.
In our world, the right fit can be just as important, especially when it comes to car seats. Always choose a car seat that's the right fit for your child's age and size to make sure your little pumpkin gets there safely every time.
Hop in, dear.
Thank you.
For more information, visit safercar.gov/the right seat. This message has been brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Confusion ever someone or have sudden...
Have you ever had sudden confusion, trouble speaking, or understanding someone?
It could be one of the five signs of stroke.
Sudden weakness or numbness of the face, arm, or leg.
Sudden trouble with vision in one or both eyes.
Suddenly having trouble walking or difficulty with balance.
Or a sudden intense headache that comes out of nowhere.
Don't wait. Call 911 immediately.
Time lost is brain lost.
Find out more at powertoendstroke.org. Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
There's hundreds of fun and simple things you and your family can do to live a healthier lifestyle. Here's 20 of them. Eat less, eat slower, eat smarter, eat your fruits and veggies, stop eating before you're full, up your fiber, lower your calories, get off the bus early, do some gardening, do jumping jacks, take the stairs, take one, not two, take on a new sport, take a long walk home, walk instead of drive, bend, stretch, reach for the stars, climb the monkey bars, skip the fudge bars. Search We Can online to find more ways you and your family can get healthy together. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I don't know how to talk like a parent. Don't make me come back there. You see what I mean? It's pretty awful. Try it again. Don't make me come back there. Now that's pretty good. That one kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We appreciate it. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just type in the Union Edge. We appreciate that very much. Right now on the line, we've got Craig Harrington of Media Matters. Craig, welcome back.
Thanks for having me again.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Now, let me see. Gas prices are coming down. That's devastating to the economy. Why? I'm not sure I get this.
This is a story that that came out of the Wall Street Journal and Fox News sort of echo chamber. And what we saw was a Wall Street Journal article, just a straight news article, on the 28th, on October 28th, so just yesterday afternoon, that came out saying that having gasoline at $3 per gallon in the United States had risks and rewards. And the reward, of course, is for consumers, hundreds of millions of Americans who buy gasoline, they're now paying less for that gasoline at the pump every day, and it's giving them more money in their wallet to take home. The risk, so says the Wall Street Journal, is that these lower prices actually make expensive petroleum products like tar sands and hydraulic fracturing petroleum production more expensive relative to where they were. These are expensive methods that have a lot of overhead. They require a lot of jobs, a lot of infrastructure, and a lot of frontline investment to bring those products online, and they're not profitable if gasoline is below a certain threshold. Some said that threshold was in the $75 to $80 range, which is where oil is now. So if oil costs $75 or $80 per barrel, a lot of this domestic production in the United States is no longer profitable. So for the Wall Street Journal, and then for Fox News, Fox Business, there was some worry that would be a negative impact on the economy. For everyone else in the world, of course, the truth is declining oil and gas prices are only good for the economy. If they make expensive products no longer profitable, oh well.
I'm just trying to figure this out. I mean, you know, Stuart Barney wants everything to be more expensive. Does he want us all just to sign over, you know, our houses, write him a check, you know, give him our paychecks? I mean, I'm trying to figure out what they want, and I don't think it has anything to do with us. I think that they're working real hard to make sure that the top 1-5% get all the money, and everybody else is just living in squalor, and that's probably too good for them.
Well, what we saw from Stuart Varney on Fox Business yesterday was something that's really common in Fox News in their echo chamber just generally. Gas prices are always a bad thing, regardless of what they are, regardless of how much it costs. It's always the question is always whether or not it's hurting the economy. When President Bush was president, Fox was very quick to point out that the president of the United States has very little impact on gasoline prices. Maybe the president could sign legislation increasing the gas tax. That would be the only way the president could really affect prices at the pump. President Obama, of course, hasn't signed any increase in a gas tax. But when prices were skyrocketing in the lead up to the recession, they said, well, that's not Bush's problem. When prices started collapsing during the recession, they said, well, President Obama doesn't get credit for that. Now, a year ago, prices started rising again, and all of a sudden that was Barack Obama's fault, and now prices have collapsed, and, you know, there's no credit given to the president. And the question now is, you know, is this bad for the economy? Is this going to drive our energy sector out of business? And would that, you know, create more unemployment and more economic malaise for a struggling economic recovery? But the fact is, the energy sector isn't what drives the American economy. The consumer sector is. And if Americans are spending less on gasoline and less on oil products, they're spending more in other parts of the economy and actually building the economic base. When Fox Business is sort of fumbling this this gas prices segment yesterday, CNN actually had a great segment this morning where they kind of provided like a master class in how the media should be covering gasoline prices. And Christine Romans pointed out that, you know, a Citibank analysis shows that gasoline or oil prices at $80 per barrel, which is where they are right about now, if we kept this for a year and it persisted in that way, it would increase global economic activity by $660 billion, which would equate to, you know, Americans having an extra $10 or so in their pocket every time they fill up their tank for gasoline, which is a huge boon for the economy, and it's definitely not something to be worried about or concerned the way Fox and the Wall Street Journal are.
Very interesting, and it's amazing their creativity in figuring out ways to try and blame the current administration for everything that goes on. You know, pretty soon
the sky is always falling.
Yes, and pretty soon, you know, the president's going to be, you know, Ebola wasn't enough. Now they're going to start blaming him for the flu. Hey, well, you know, you got to do what you got to do. In the meantime, we got an election coming up, so everybody make sure you're properly prepare to go out and vote, and then go vote, because if you don't do it, somebody else will, and they're going to be influencing your life. Craig, anything else we should take away from this today?
Well, what you just said is really important. You know, it is election season, and if dropping gasoline prices are good for the economy, it's important for people to note that, you know, the economy is still on the road to recovery. The recovery hasn't been as fast or as rapid as people had wanted, but what we've seen over the last several years is steady, a slow and steady approach to economic recovery, and that's what we continue to see. If people are going to be distracted by media firestorms about ISIS or Ebola, that's kind of on them, because the fundamentals are pretty strong. You know, the economy is growing, and there's no sign of it tacking back. If gasoline prices hurt the energy sector, that's just going to help somewhere else, and that's important to keep your eye on.
Absolutely. And don't forget, Bin Laden's dead. We're out of Afghanistan for the most part and Iraq for the most part. Jobs are up. Gas costs less. You know, what else? I don't know. But in the meantime, Craig, thank you very much. How do we find out more about you and what you do for Media Matters?
Of course, you can check out MediaMatters.org virtually 24/7, where we're updating with fact-checking on conservative and mainstream misinformation. And, of course, if you like any of our researchers in particular or some of the work that we've done, you can follow most of us individually on Twitter as well.
Absolutely. And if you tweet it out, please include us. We'll retweet it for you at The Union Edge. We appreciate it, Craig. We'll talk to you again soon.
My pleasure. Thanks.
I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. A suspected uranium hexafluoride leak at a Metropolis, Illinois Honeywell uranium conversion plant has sparked a call by the United Steelworkers for an investigation. Honeywell has locked out the USW workers with the skill, experience, and knowledge to run the plant. Workers like local union spokesman John Paul Smith.
Experience matters. You have any experienced team running a nuclear facility right now. You know, people with decades of experience responding to emergencies are on the outside of the plant looking in.
Smith says the Nuclear Regulatory Commission is too cozy with the companies it regulates. When the uranium hexafluoride leaked at the plant, the gas was visible to onlookers, even as the company and the NRC told a different story.
We watched citizens call 911, and those calls basically get ignored because Honeywell, the company, and the NRC was saying that it was under control and it was in-house. People were out there watching the cloud leave the facility. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission that regulates nuclear sites in our country is not funded by the federal government. It's a government agency, but it's not funded by the federal government. It's funded by the licensees, by the sites they regulate. So Honeywell pays the NRC to regulate them. And a lot of people that are on the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, many people end up taking jobs in the industry.
USW Local 7669 will hold another bargaining session with Honeywell November 17th in an effort to reach an agreement and end the lockout. Verdi Union Amazon workers in Germany are striking in 5 locations. The strikes end today. The workers are struggling with Amazon over wages and working conditions. The workers want higher pay to bring them in line with collective bargaining agreements throughout the retail and mail order industry in Germany. Amazon is so far rejecting the demand. Amazon employs some 9,000 German distribution workers. United Auto Workers members at Local 2387 in Lebanon, Ohio, voted to accept a contract deal ending a long lockout. The vote ratifying the contract proposal was reportedly by just 13 votes. The workers have been locked out since June, twice before they rejected proposed deals. Concessions were part of the contract, no more company matches for 401ks and higher health insurance premiums. But a proposed wage cut was rejected. By November 3rd, the workers are all expected to be back at work. Wisconsin Jobs Now is suing Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker over the minimum wage. The group found an old state law that requires that the minimum wage in Wisconsin be no less than the living wage. It's currently $7.25 an hour. A group of workers filed a complaint under the law, but Wisconsin Jobs Now says Walker's quick rejection of the complaint, with no real investigation, is in itself a violation of the law. Walker is calling the suit a cheap political stunt. You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.